Enchanting Adventures. Short stories of magic, myth, and folklore for children. Volume 3. Aesop's Fables. Written by Aesop. Read by Dan Dews and Grant Swanby. Hello and welcome to a world where magic dances with reality, where mythical creatures roam ancient forests and folktales whisper the wisdom of ages past. In this enchanting collection of short stories for kids, we invite you to embark on an extraordinary journey filled with wonder, laughter, and timeless lessons. Within this collection, you will find tales that weave together the threads of myth and folklore, bringing to life captivating adventures that will capture the imaginations of both the young and the young at heart. Let the enchantment begin. Belling the Cat. In a burrow in the ground, a few hundred mice scuttle together. They had gathered to hold a meeting to consider what measures they could take to outwit their common enemy, the cat. Some were proudly showing their battle scars or telling tales of deadly chases in which they narrowly escaped. "Silence!" squeaked one of the more important-looking mice. "Silence! The elders have arrived!" The crowd fell silent and stepped aside to make space for the elders. 12 important-looking mice entered the burrow. They solemnly marched into the center of the room and sat down. One of them, the elder mouse, rang an impressive-looking bell and said,
"I now bring this meeting to order. As you all know, many of our number have been captured and eaten by our age-old enemy, the cat. Cats have tormented us since as far back as we can remember. Something needs to be done."
The crowd murmured in agreement.
Down with cats! Sneaky rascals!
"Silence!" the elder cried. "You will all agree that our chief danger consists of the sly and treacherous manner in which this crafty enemy approaches us. I'm sure you can all relate. The temptation of a tasty morsel of cheese dropped under the kitchen table. The gentle snores of the humans as they sleep. It couldn't be more tempting. So you creep out of your mouse hole. You look to the left and to the right, up and down, and then delicately make your way apparently undetected. But alas, oh no, you would be mistaken to think so. Few of us are as crafty as the dreaded cat. She sneaks up on you as silent as the night, and then, just as you sink your teeth into that delicious cheesy snack, bang! She pounces on you. No longer are you having a snack. Now you are a snack." The crowd erupted again.
"No foul creatures!"
"Silence!" the elder cried again. "We have a cunning plan. All we need to do is wait until the cat comes into the kitchen. Then, when it is relaxing, we sneak up to it and tie a bell to its collar.
That way, whenever the cat walks, jumps, pounces, whatever, we will hear it coming. The crowd cheered in support.
Splendid idea! Splendid!
What a frightfully good idea!
Every mouse stood up in support, clapping each other on the back.
We've done it!
Problem solved! Until a young mouse called out.
That's all very well, but who will put the bell on the cat?
The crowd fell silent.
Hadn't thought of that. Bound to get eaten while trying. Perhaps Bob can do it?
I think not. You do it.
Not a chance am I going anywhere near that cat. Larry should do it.
And so they continued arguing until they all agreed that although the plan was a brilliant idea, perhaps they would leave it for another day. What's the moral of the story? It is one thing to say that something should be done, but quite a different matter to do it. Mercury and the Woodcutter. A poor woodcutter was walking through the forest. For the whole day, he had been searching for a tree that was ready to cut down. It was late in the day, and the woodcutter was tired. He had been working since sunrise. Just before he was about to give up for the day, he saw an old oak tree.
"This looks perfect,"
he said. He picked up his axe, but just as he swung it, he tripped, and the axe slipped and flew out of his hands into a nearby pool. The woodcutter was in despair. The axe was all he possessed with which to make a living, and he did not have enough money to buy a new one. He fell to the ground in tears. Just then, Mercury, the god of luck, suddenly appeared and asked, "What's troubling you, old man?" The woodcutter told Mercury what had happened, and straight away the kind god dived into the pool. When he came up again, he held a wonderful golden axe. "Is this your axe?" Mercury asked the woodcutter.
"No,"
answered the honest woodcutter.
"That is not my axe."
Mercury laid the golden axe on the bank and sprang back into the pool. He was underwater for a little while, but eventually he came up to the surface. This time, he brought up an axe made of silver. But the woodcutter said,
"My axe was just an ordinary one, with a wooden handle."
Mercury dived down for a third time. And when he came up again, he had the very axe that had been lost.
"My axe!"
cried the woodcutter. He was very glad that his axe had been found and could not thank the kind god enough. Mercury was impressed with the woodcutter. "I admire your honesty," he said, "and as a reward, you may have all three axes, the gold and the silver, as well as your own." The happy woodcutter returned to his home with his treasures. Soon the story of his good fortune was known to everybody in the village. Now, there were several woodcutters in the village who believed they could easily have the same good luck. They hurried out into the woods and found the pool.
Then, on the count of three...
One, two, three!
They all threw their axes as hard as they could into the pool. Then they made a big show of weeping and wailing and called on Mercury to help them.
Mercury!
And indeed, Mercury did appear. He showed them an axe made of gold, and each one eagerly claimed it to be the one he had lost.
That's mine!
No, it's not! It's mine!
No, it's mine!
But Mercury did not give them the golden axe. Oh no! Instead, he gave them each a hard whack over the head with it and sent them home. And when they returned next day to look for their own axes, they were nowhere to be found. What is the moral of this story? Honesty is the best policy. The Boy and the Candy. There was once a little boy named Sam. He was in the kitchen, craving a delicious treat. He jumbled through the cupboards, hoping to discover something tasty to satisfy his hunger. He rummaged through the pantry, searching high and low. But the treat he longed for seemed to be hiding. Amongst the assortment of food, he stumbled upon pickled cabbage and a slice of pumpkin pie. Unhappy with these options, he grumbled, "This stuff is revolting!" Determined to find the perfect snack, Sam continued his exploration. He caused a mess in the cupboards, but finally his eyes landed on a jar of candy. A smile broke across his face, and he joyfully exclaimed, "Yes!" He unscrewed the narrow metal lid and peeked inside. The jar was filled with so many delectable sweets that his mouth watered. Without hesitation, he reached in and grabbed a handful of candy. However, his desire got the better of him, and he attempted to take them all at once. To his dismay, his hand got stuck inside the jar. No matter how hard he pulled, he couldn't free his hand from it. Frustration boiled inside him, and he shouted in anger. Then he had an idea. He found a piece of string. He tied one end of it around the jar and tied the other end to the door handle. Then he ran away as fast as he could in the other direction, hoping that the force would release his hand. But his plan backfired, and Sam was yanked backwards, badly hurting his shoulder and his hand. Then he had another idea. He went to the basin and climbed onto a chair. He squeezed out some soap all over his wrist. With soapy hands, he tried twisting and turning, but his hand remained stuck. In the process, his whole body was getting soapy, and he slipped and tumbled onto the floor, creating an awful mess. Feeling defeated and in terrible pain, he cried out for help.
"Help! Help! Help! Help me!"
Hearing his distress, his mother rushed into the kitchen to Sam's side. She couldn't help but chuckle at the sight of her poor boy covered in soap bubbles. She knew at once what had happened.
"My boy, you tried to take too many treats at once," she said with a smile. Your hand won't come out with all that candy in there. Realizing his mistake, Sam knew what he had to do. He let go of the candy and gently pulled his hand out of the jar. Although he felt embarrassed and silly, he learned a valuable lesson that day. As he wiped away his tears, his mother reassured him, "It's all right to enjoy treats, Sam, but remember, never take too much at once." What's the moral of the story? Don't attempt too much at once.
The Tortoise and the Hare. One day, a hare was boasting about how fast he could run. He bragged and bragged to all the animals, even the poor tortoise, who was very slow.
Slow, coach. What a joke. You couldn't even catch a snail.
The tortoise stretched out his long neck and said, "I challenge you to a race." Which, of course, made the hare laugh his head off.
How utterly ridiculous,
thought the hare.
Pathetic tortoise. Oh, a race indeed, Mr. Tortoise. Oh, yeah. Yeah, prepare to eat my dust,
said the hare. The forest animals met and mapped out the course. The elephant blew her trunk for the race to begin. The animals cheered, as the hare, being such a speedy runner, soon left the tortoise far behind. He turned around to jeer at the tortoise. He put the thumb of his paw on the end of his twitchy pink nose, waggled his four fingers, and stuck out his tongue. About halfway through the race, it occurred to the hare that he had heaps of time to beat the slow tortoise. Thought the hare.
I got loads of time to play in the meadow here.
And so he did. After the hare finished playing, he decided it was time for a little nap.
So much time to beat that slow tortoise.
And he stretched out in the sun for an afternoon doze. The tortoise, in the meantime, continued to plod on, even though the tiny little reptile was very slow. He never stopped, but took one steady step after the next. The hare finally woke up from his nap.
Time to get going and finish this off.
And off he went, faster than he had ever run before. He dashed as quickly as a cheetah up to the finish line, where he met the tortoise, who, despite his clunky shell and stubby little legs, through steady determination, had won the race. The moral of the story. You can be more successful by doing things slowly and steadily than by acting quickly and carelessly. Also, when having a race, try to avoid having naps.
What is the moral of the story? You can be more successful by doing things slowly and steadily than by acting quickly and carelessly. The Wind and the Sun. The wind and the sun argued one day over which of them was the strongest.
I am the strongest,
said the wind.
No, you're not, you old windbag.
I am stronger, replied the sun.
What utter nonsense, sunface. No, you're not. I am.
Balderdash.
Codswallop.
Fiddlesticks.
Quaddlesock.
And so they continued arguing and arguing. Just then, an old man came walking past. He had a long beard and was bald on top, with long strands of hair wisping around the sides of his head. He was wearing a heavy coat.
All right, Mr. Wind, said the sun. All this arguing is just hot air. I suggest a challenge. Let's see who can get this old man to take his coat off. Whichever one of us can do it is the winner.
Ha! Couldn't be easier,
jeered the wind.
I have the power to summon hurricanes, storms, typhoons. I am master of the air. I will blow this old man to kingdom come!
All right, said the sun. You're on. You go first. The wind began to blow. He blew strong gusts of air, so strong that the man could barely walk against them. He was leaning into the wind just to keep from falling down. The wind blew harder, but the man clutched his coat tightly against him. His hair and beard were streaming out behind him. But the harder the wind blew, the tighter the old man held his coat against him. The wind blew until it was exhausted. But it could not remove the coat from the man's back.
Good Lord, said the old man, regaining his balance. If I'd known today was such a windy day, I would have stayed at home.
He straightened his hair, brushed down his beard, and continued on his way. The wind returned to the sun, gasping with tiredness.
Can't be done,
he huffed.
This old geezer is much stronger than we thought.
I think not, said the sun mischievously. Watch and learn, my windy friend. And then the sun did nothing. She just slowly shone down on the old man. The old man began to get hot.
You!
He muttered, wiping the sweat from his brow.
The weatherman really got it wrong today. First a howling gale, and now this. It feels like I'm walking through the desert.
He rolled up his sleeves and plodded on. The sun just relaxed and shone some more. Soon enough, the old man was boiling hot. His beard and the little hair he had on his head were damp with sweat. Just watch, whispered the sun to the wind. With a tired sigh, the old man stopped under a shady tree for a rest. and slowly began to take off his coat.
You win,
grumbled the wind. What is the moral of the story? Gentleness and kind persuasion win, where force and power fail. The Crow and the Water Jug. One hot and sunny day, a crow lazily flapped through the air. The crow was very hot and very thirsty. So it landed on the branch in the shade of a tree to cool down. It was an old oak tree in the yard of a farmer. In the distance, the crow could hear the farmer cutting grass. After a little while, the front door of the farmhouse opened, and the farmer's wife stepped outside. She was a large, kind-looking woman, and she too was clearly very hot. She was carrying a tray on which stood a jug of water and a tall glass. She put the tray on the table and filled the glass. She drank it all at once. Then she filled the glass again and drank that too. Then, with a sigh, she sat down on her rocking chair on the porch. As she rocked, her eyes grew droopy, until at last the crow heard the sound that it was waiting for. Snoring, the woman was asleep. The crow fluttered down to the table on the porch. It crept up to the jug and put its head inside, ready for a cool drink. Imagine the poor crow's disappointment when it discovered that the jug was almost empty. There was just a little bit of water at the bottom. No matter how much the crow stretched its neck, it simply wasn't long enough to reach the water. She grunted and groaned. And eventually gave up. She pulled her head out of the jug and caught her breath. How could she get the water? Grow a longer neck or a longer beak? Not so easy. Then she had an idea. She fluttered down to the ground and rustled around with her black beak. Finally, she found what she wanted, a pebble. She flew back up to the jug and dropped the pebble in with a plop. Again, she swooped down to the ground and found another little stone, picked it up, and returned to the jug. In went the stone. It did this again and again, making sure to be very careful not to wake the farmer's wife. It collected little rocks, pebbles, and stones and dropped them one after the other into the jug. And with each stone she dropped in, the water level grew higher and higher. The stones sank to the bottom, taking the place of the water, which had to go up. This was very tiring for the hard-working crow, and she was getting even thirstier. But after a little while, she looked in the jug. The water was almost at the top. She leaned her neck inside, opened up her beak, and drank the water. It was cool and delicious. It drank and drank and drank until there was nothing left. Then she gave a small, satisfied burp, spread her wings, and fluttered off into the sky. What's the moral of the story? Use your clever brain when faced with a difficult problem. The Frog and the Ox. One afternoon, a grand and mighty ox was on his daily stroll, munching away at grass, when he noticed a small, skinny frog jumping from lily pad to lily pad in the river. The frog was very impressed with the great ox. So impressed, he was envious.
I wish I was as big and tough as this huge beast,
he thought. He was bursting with jealousy.
Look at this magnificent ox,
he called to his friends, the monkeys.
He's such a grand size for a mammal, but he's no match for an amphibian like me.
Really?
Asked the little monkey.
But you're no bigger than that ox's ear.
The frog started puffing and swelled from his normal size. Bigger and bigger, blowing up like a balloon.
Now am I as large as that wonderful ox?
He asked his friends.
Impressive, but not quite, they replied.
So the frog puffed himself up more and more, trying to reach the size of the ox.
Now? How about now?
Asked the frog.
No, no, please don't try anymore. You're a frog. You were just right as you were. If you jumped on a lily pad now, you would sink,
pleaded the monkey.
No, he wouldn't,
whispered his friend, the snake.
He's full of air. He'd float.
Oh, shush! You know what I mean,
said the monkey.
You're really not helping.
But the frog continued to puff and swell, larger and larger, until he was bigger than a basketball. And then, bigger than a bicycle. And then, bigger than a sumo wrestler. Until finally...
Now see how wonderful I...
But he couldn't keep his breath in any longer. It came rushing out of his mouth just like a balloon that's been untied. The poor old frog went whizzing around like a mad shooting star and eventually landed on his back on the lily pad, panting and literally brought down to size. The ox carried on munching his grass. And the forest animals lifted up their poor little green friend.
We love you just the way you are, frog face, warts and all.
What is the moral of this story? You don't need to be something that you are not to prove your worth. The Lion and the Mouse. A lion lay asleep in the forest. Lying on his back with his great paws pointing up, warming himself in the sun. His last meal was a few days ago, and he was beginning to get hungry again. His tummy rumbled.
I think it's time for a bit of a snack,
he said to himself in his dreamy state, all the while snoring like thunder. Just then, a timid little mouse crept out of her hole.
Strange, she thought. It sounds like thunder, but I don't see any clouds.
The thunder stopped. Something wet landed on the mouse's head.
Rain? Thought the mouse. Surely not.
She looked up to see if there were rain clouds. Was it rain that fell on her head? Oh no. Her poor head was covered with drool. Lion drool. She was standing right below the mouth of the hungry lion. His hot, stinky breath blew back her ears with every hungry pant.
You!
She cried. The lion laid his huge paw on the tail of the tiny creature to kill her.
Just what I was dreaming about,
he growled.
A lovely starter before my evening meal.
Spare me,
begged the poor mouse.
Please let me go, Mr. Lion, and someday I will surely repay you. I promise you it will be well worth your while.
The lion was very amused.
A tiny little mouse? Help me? The king of all beasts? Now, shall we do this the hard way? Or will you just face the facts and step into my mouth?
But the desperate mouse cleverly pleaded with the lion, who, although big and strong, was rather charmed by the mouse. He lifted his paw and graciously released her. She scampered off before he could change his mind.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Some days later, the lion was stealthily creeping through the forest. He saw a deer.
That looks just right for supper,
he thought to himself. He crept forward, making sure the wind was coming towards him, to make sure the deer couldn't smell him. He took a step, and then another step, and then,
snap! From nowhere, a rope whipped around his neck. He was stuck in a hunter's trap. The lion filled the forest with his angry roaring.
By this time, the deer was long gone, but the lion had much bigger problems to consider.
The devilish hunter will soon come,
he thought.
And that will be the end of me, the mightiest of all creatures, defeated by a rope.
Just then, he heard a strange sound. He looked down and saw a small familiar creature at the end of the dreadful rope. It was the mouse.
You!
roared the lion with joy. The mouse gnawed and gnawed, and soon the rope snapped. The lion was free. He lowered his great big paw and lifted up the mouse and pulled her closer to give her a great big drooly lick of thanks. The mouse, wet to the bone, but happy to have helped her new friend, said,
"You laughed when you said I would repay you. Now you see that even a mouse can help a lion."
What is the moral of this story? Kindness brings its rewards, and there is no creature so small that it cannot help another.
The Boy Who Cried Wolf. There once was a boy who kept his sheep just on the outskirts of a sleepy village. He often became bored. He tried counting sheep, but that became rather monotonous.
One sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four sheep, five sheep.
Soon he had what he thought was a hilarious idea to amuse himself. He shouted out,
"Wolf!"
in a voice of great panic.
Wolf!
But
wolf!
There was no wolf about.
Wolf!
The villagers would stop what they were doing and run to save the sheep from the wolf's jaws. But once they arrived at the flock of sheep, the boy just laughed his head off. The villagers grumbled and walked away.
"Oh, silly boy, he's not like
that. I can't believe he could do such a thing. What was he thinking? Oh, it's terrible. Oh, tell me what, it's terrible."
The naughty boy played this joke over and over until the villagers tired of him. One day, while the boy was watching the sheep suddenly stopped their bleating. Everything was quiet. The boy looked around into the darkness of the surrounding forest and saw two wicked eyes staring at him from the darkness. He heard a terrible growl, and then saw the terrible jaws with drool dripping off their teeth. As the boy's eyes adjusted to the darkness, he realized that he was standing face to face with a wolf.
"Wolf! Wolf! 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 Wolf!"
It launched itself into the clearing, sending the sheep running in all directions.
"Help! I've been running for so long. It's a wolf. Stop chasing me."
But the wolf didn't have eyes for them. Oh no, he was there to catch the naughty boy who was running and screaming for his life.
"Please don't help me, help me! Oh, no, please! Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
The wolf snapped at his heels as the boy lunged for the safety of the tree. In the nick of time, he scrambled to a high branch. He called to the villagers for help.
"A wolf, help, help, oh, help, please, help me, help, I'm sorry."
While the wolf hungrily looked up, wondering how he could climb the tree.
A wolf, help, help, a wolf, please help me, I'm serious, it's time, it really is a wolf, oh, please.
ate well that evening? Was it a meal of sheep? I wonder. One way or another, that naughty boy certainly learned his lesson.
What's the moral of the story? Liars will not be rewarded. Even if they tell the truth, no one will believe them. The Rooster and the Fox. A rooster was perched on a branch of a very high tree, crowing loudly.
Everybody up!
He called.
Time to get up! Come on, everybody up!
His powerful exclamations were heard throughout the forest and caught the attention of a hungry fox who was out and about looking for prey. Yum, he thought to himself, just what I am in the mood for. A lovely rooster meal for my hungry tummy. The fox stealthily crept up close to the rooster. The rooster crowed so loud, it appeared not to notice the fox at all. As it crowed, its comb quivered delightfully. The comb, in case you were wondering, is that red thing on the top of the heads of roosters and hens. As far as the fox was concerned, this was the yummiest part. He crept a little closer, completely silent. Or so he thought. You see, the rooster had heard the fox and had thought to himself,
I'm not sure I like the look of this chap. It's not for nothing they say sly as a fox. I need to watch out for this shifty character.
Another step. A little closer. He licked his lips. Just a little more. And the fox pounced on the rooster. There was a mad chaos of fluttering feathers and crazy crowing. When the dust settled, the fox wiped some orange feathers from his eyes, only to see that the rooster was gone. A lone feather came drifting down from the tree and landed on the fox's nose. The fox sneezed, looked up, and saw, sitting on the top of the tree, the rooster. It had escaped! The monkeys swinging from the branches all hooted with laughter at the way in which the fox had been outsmarted. Although he was fuming with rage, the fox was determined to save his dignity. He saw how high the bird was positioned and thought of a sly way to bring the rooster down for his meal.
Excuse me, my dear proud rooster,
he gently spoke.
Have you not heard of the proclamation of harmony amongst animals? All beasts and birds and every creature in our forest have made peace. We are no longer to hunt and eat each other, but we are to live together in peace, harmony, and love. Come on down, clever Mr. Rooster, and we can speak more on this matter of such great importance. And you can sing me more of your beautiful melodies.
Now, the rooster, who knew that the fox was known for his sly wit, said nothing, but looked out in the distance as if he were seeing something.
What are you looking at so intently?
Asked the fox.
I see a pack of wild dogs,
said the rooster.
I do believe they're coming our way, Mr. Fox.
Dogs, the arch enemy of the fox. A pack of dogs would tear him to shreds.
I've just got to go. I really must go,
said the fox.
Please do not go yet, darling Mr. Fox,
said the rooster.
I was just coming down for a chat. We can wait for the dogs and discuss this new time of peace with all.
No, no, said the fox. I must go. The dogs have not heard of this proclamation of peace yet.
Oh, really? Are you sure you wouldn't like to stay? I'm sure you'd make a lovely meal,
said the rooster as the fox ran away, followed by the laughter of all the forest animals. What is the moral of this story? Be careful of flatterers. Thank you for listening to Enchanting Adventures, short stories of magic, myth, and folklore for children. Volume 3, Aesop's Fables, written by Aesop, read by Dan Dews and Grant Swanby.